Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
Lord, teach us how to pray. In part 5, I want to speak about praying for results. Jesus says in John 16, verse 23 to 24, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." As I discussed in previous sessions, prayer should be addressed to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Also, we are not to pray for Jesus' sake. We found that out. And we know that we are not to pray just to be praying. We are to pray for results. If results do not follow our prayers, then our prayer life is in essence a failure. And we need to find out why our prayers are not being answered. Examples of praying for results. I read an account of Dr. Charles Price. He said someone had phoned him and asked him if he would come to the hospital. He usually didn't do that because he didn't have time. But this person who was in the hospital had been a friend of his in the days that had gone by. This was a woman who had been converted under his ministry. He went to the hospital to visit her and found that she was dying of cancer. Dr. Price was there when the physician came, and Dr. Price told the woman he was going to go home and pray for her. The woman's physician heard Dr. Price say that. Outside the hospital room, Dr. Price and the physician talked, and the physician told Dr. Price he'd better pray because it would just be a few hours before the woman would be gone. The physician then said that he believed in prayer and that he knew it would soothe the woman's mind and calm her down and prepare her for what was ahead. Dr. Price told the doctor he wasn't going to pray just to prepare for her death. She already had peace because she was a believer. He said he was going to pray that she would be healed. The doctor looked at him as if he had been slapped with a wet dish rag. Dr. Price then went back into the room and laid his hands on the woman and prayed, and she was healed and raised up. Dr. Price was praying for results, and we should pray for results too. P.C. Nelson, who was a Baptist minister for a great number of years, actually 30 of the 52 years of ministry he had spent as a Baptist, Nelson had a wonderful testimony of healing. In 1921, he was run over by an automobile in Detroit, Michigan. The doctor said Reverend Nelson would lose his leg or else would become stiff for the rest of his life. But Nelson was healed. Then he held healing meetings across the nation for different denominational churches. P.C. Nelson was once holding a meeting in Arkansas for the Baptists and was praying for the sick. A pastor of another Baptist church in the States who had gone to the seminary with Dad Nelson heard that he was in the area. So he decided to go and hear this new doctrine of healing Reverend Nelson was teaching. The Baptist pastor went to the meeting and was very much opposed to what Nelson was teaching. The Baptist pastor went to the meeting and really was not happy. The pastor talked about it at home and aroused the curiosity of his family. They've never heard anything like it. So he took the family to Nelson's meetings, including his mother who was living with them. The next morning at breakfast, at the table, this Baptist family was again discussing what Nelson was teaching about healing. This pastor thought it was all right to pray for someone, but he thought it shouldn't be done in a public manner. You see, this Baptist pastor was opposed of calling people forward and praying for them. He just thought that they should just pray for them at home and they should pray that the will of the Lord be done. His wife and some of the older children agreed with him. But his mother said that she wouldn't criticize what Reverend Nelson was teaching. Finally, the 5-year-old son, who was the baby of the family, spoke up and said, "Well, Dad, the only difference I can see is that we pray in our church on Sunday morning, Lord, bless the sick, and don't expect anything. But that man prays for them in front of everyone and expects God to heal them right then and there. That got the pastor thinking. So he went over and began to attend the meetings. He began to really listen to the teachings. And he began to understand that believers ought to pray for results. That's true, isn't it? What's the use of praying if we're not praying for results? Thank God, God does hear and answer prayer. He wants to hear and answer our petitions. You see, in this praying for results, it's important to remind God of his promises. God didn't put all of the promises and string them all together in what we have today as the Bible just to fill up space. They are there for our profiting. They are there for our benefit. They are there for us to use. They are there for us to act on. One of the best ways in the world to pray is just to follow the admonition and the instruction of God's word. Look at what Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25 to 26 says. Verse 25 says, I am the one that blotted out transgressions for my own sake, says the Lord, and will not remember thy sins. Then in verse 26, he says, put me in remembrance. In other words, remind God of what he said in his word. Those who have been mighty in prayer have always been those who have gone before God and reminded him of his promises, of his covenant promises that are found in his word. When we think about great people who prayed with outstanding results, we must think of people like Charles G. Finney, the great revivalist. Perhaps there's been none in church history that had greater success concerning converts of any other minister since the days of the early church. Supposedly, more people remained saved under his ministry after conversion than in any point in history since the days of the evangelistic journeys of the Apostle Paul. Whole cities were stirred because of Charles Finney's prayers. For instance, when you read in his autobiography that in 1829, Finney went to Rochester, New York, and conducted a meeting, and practically everyone in the town got saved. All of the beer joints and the dance halls were closed down. There wasn't a place in town left where one could buy any alcoholic drink. Nearly everyone in town had have gotten saved in order for that to happen. The only theater in town had closed up. There was no need to put on a show in any theater. There was such a move of God that when the circus came to town, there was only one performance and only two people showed up. The circus had to close down and leave town. Everyone was interested in God. Revival was truly on. The people just weren't interested in anything else. You can learn something from a fellow like Finney. I also read from Finney's autobiography that he was a Presbyterian minister and a Congregationalist. When Finney was a Presbyterian, he was holding a meeting sponsored by the Presbyterian Church. He told about going to another place in New York to preach in a Presbyterian church on a Sunday afternoon. Finney had been talking for about 15 minutes when suddenly the power of God fell on him and the 400 people fell off their seats onto the floor. There was more than 400 people present. They fell to the floor under the power of God. Finney hadn't seen that happen before. He found out that all 400 people had gotten saved and that all had been sinners before. You read about George Whitefield. He came over from England to the US to preach and held street meetings. He was preaching on the square in Boston, Massachusetts, and because the crowds were so large, some would climb up the trees to be able to see. Whitefield would tell them to come down out of the trees when he preached, because if the power of God did come down, they might fall out of the trees. He was a Methodist. People were saved in these meetings. This was an old-time Methodist preaching. These men knew how to pray for results. They made prayer their business for the glory of God. For example, when you read about Finney, you find that he was a real man of prayer. I read in his autobiography that he had said that he had had some experiences in prayer that simply just alarmed him. Finney said he found himself telling the Lord what the Lord had said in his word. He found himself telling the Lord what he was obligated to perform, that he was obligated to perform his word because he had said it. The following is an excerpt from something that Finney said, and it shows us that Finney prayed for results, basing his petitions firmly on the promises of God. He says, "I was constrained to pray without ceasing. I could not rest in the house and was obliged to retire to the barn frequently through the day, where I would unburden my soul and pour out my heart to God and pray. I had wonderful faith given to me at that time, and some experiences similarly had alarmed me. When I was alone, I would wrestle and struggle, and my faith would rise to I would say to God that he had made a promise to answer prayer, and I could not and would not be denied." He simply believed that God could not deny him. He says, "I felt so certain that he would hear me, and that the faithfulness to his promises and to himself rendered it impossible that he should not hear and answer. That frequently I found myself saying to him, 'I hope that you do not think that I can be denied. I come with your faithful promises in my hand, and I cannot be denied.'" You see how necessary it is to find the scriptures that cover your case? If you don't know what God's word has to say about a situation, you can't put him in remembrance of his promises. If God wants us to put him in remembrance, then put him in remembrance. He asks us to do it, so we need to be sure that we are people that practice this. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 26. "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare your cause that you may be justified." We are certainly facing great need everywhere. People are dying because of their lack of knowledge about Jesus. The sick are needing healing. The weak are needing strength. What is our part in this mighty prayer life? Are you doing what he wants you to do? Is your life right with God? Does your heart condemn you? If so, get right with him. And thank God, it doesn't take very long. The Bible says if we confess our sins in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All we have to do is pray in faith and see the word of God come to pass in our life. You see, when we talk about this issue of praying for finances, we need to do so in the name of Jesus. If you're praying for money, you see, you need to understand that you have to bind Satan over your finances and command the money to be loosed in Jesus' name. You're to command the money to be loosed because the money is not in heaven. The money is here on earth. God is not sending money from heaven. All the money is in this realm. The Bible says that all the silver and gold are here on the earth in Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. God says the cattle upon a thousand hill in Psalm 50 verse 10. And the world and the fullness thereof on this earth is here. You see, and it's in the hands of the devil since Adam gave Satan dominion over this world. But we have at our disposition the name and the authority of Jesus. We can bind the devil who tries to limit the access that we have to these kingdom resources. Jesus said, "Whatever amount you need, whatever we ask for in prayer, we can receive it so that our joy may be filled." So we need to be able to call forth by faith what we are needing so that we can eat the good of the land. You see, angels are ministering spirits that have been assigned to assist us. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Angels are ministering spirits that are sent to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. The word minister means to wait on or to serve. If you think of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it's almost like a picture of how you have at a restaurant waiters and waitresses waiting to serve you. Their eyes are peeled on you. Their ears are attentive to perhaps something you might request. You see, the disciples thought Jesus was tired. So when the Bible says that there was a time where parents brought children to Jesus. So the disciples thought that Jesus was tired and they rebuked the parents. But Jesus said, don't suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus said that the children's angels were ever before the Father's face in Matthew 18:10. You see, we need to understand that we've got angels that are attentive to act upon our command. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said if Christians, those who are heirs of salvation, would learn to read and study the Bible, they could put their angels to work for them according to God's word. Jesus said that the angel of the Lord told Philip to go to Gaza in Acts chapter 8 verse 26. The angel of the Lord appeared to Paul when he was on board the ship in Acts chapter 27 verse 23. Ministering spirits, you need to be able to command them to go forth and cause the will of God to be materialized in your life. We have all these things, these benefits of salvation at our disposal, but they don't work automatically. We've got to put them to work. You see, we need to understand that if we're going to pray and get results, we need to have an assurance that God's word does not fail. When we come to God according to God's word cannot fail. Jesus said if two of us would agree on earth on touching anything that we ask, that it would be done for us, Matthew 18 verse 19. Did Jesus say it or he did not say it? Jesus didn't say it might be done. He didn't say there was a possibility it could be done. He didn't say that if it is the will of God, it shall be done. No. He said it would be done. Of course, we won't get any results unless we pray according to the will of God. So we need to stand our ground. You need to stand your ground on God's word and declare that it has to be according to his word. Look at the storm in the face like Paul did when he was on the ship. As Paul stood his ground, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that their lives would be spared. This is seen in Acts chapter 27. Jesus' word is more sure than a word of an angel. God's written word is even more sure than a word of a holy angel. Look, you can look the storm in the face and command it in the name of Jesus to cease. And you need to say, as Paul did, I believe God and it shall be even as it was told me. You'll find yourself sometimes in this life facing problems and challenges, and you need to look those challenges in the face. And as Paul said in Acts chapter 27, verse 25, to say that I believe God despite all the contrary evidence, and it shall be to me as it was told. You see, you'll find out that the devils and demons will limp away in defeat in the attempt to oppose you. And your answer will come, but you must stand your ground because God hears and answers prayer.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.